Turn to Ephesians 6, please. Ephesians chapter number 6. What the Christian life's all about is becoming a spiritual person. Spiritual person. And moving out of the realm of the soul into the spirit. The lost man, the lost person, when they don't know God, they're dominated by their soul. When the Bible tells us that the word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder soul and spirit. And when you got redeemed, your spirit that was in total bondage to your soul got cut free. That's why you have that liberty on the inside. And then the believer, if they'll cooperate with God, as he breaks them from being controlled by the flesh, being controlled by their mind, their will, and the emotion. And God controls them from the center of their spirit, where the divine nature is, where the Holy Spirit is. And then Christ can be ministered through his people to reach lost people and a lost world. Now, the biggest problem we have, there's hardly anybody on the battlefield anymore. That's right. Plenty of folks in the fellowship hall. In the gym. They just ain't men in the prayer room. And that's where the battlefield's at. What's going on around here is the sovereignty of God, but at the same time, it's because God's been doing some work in the lives of people. When you go into a church, it's like going to a battlefield. And you've got to conquer the strongholds that's been built there that's given Satan a seat in that local church. And normally it is rebellion against authority. Or it could be vileness or ungodliness in some part of leadership that really has a church locked down. And only one thing can move that. And that's believers that know how to pray. Now you not only have strongholds in churches, you've got demonic power where Satan's been given that place where he can shut it down. Now, believers have got to get back to the place that they know who we are in Christ. Jesus said we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And the Bible says if we're joined to the Lord, we're one spirit. Our spirit's connected to heaven right now. We're seated in Christ right now. At the right hand of the Father. But we don't see that. It don't become a reality to it. We pray from earth to heaven instead of from heaven to earth. You need to learn to pray from heaven to earth. That's right. I take my position in Christ before the throne of God and pray down to this earth. That's right. And you say, how do you believe that? Because the Bible says it. All power's been given unto Christ, and he gave the church the power. And he gave us his authority. He didn't send us to a battlefield to hope everything turns out all right. He sent us there to take the field. Now what's been happening here, and a lot of these truths you can't preach until God gets people to a certain level because they won't even accept them. They won't even think about them. What happens in meetings like this is that there's enough people that get close enough to God that can pray and God hears them. And God sends in the reinforcements and puts the angels around this thing. God binds the strong man. And one stronger comes in and strips him of his armor and takes the spoils. Now the Lord can do that in his sovereignty, but he don't. God works with man. Why are we so defeated? You ever wondered why would God put us in this world and give us no power? Well, no. Evidently, we ain't doing something right. Ain't that true? Now, I'm not here to put you down. We're all in the same boat. This is Laodicean church age. But right in the middle of it, it's a Philadelphian church. It'll be here till he comes. He's going to keep the Philadelphian church from that hour of temptation that'll come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Thank God, I want to be right in the middle of that Philadelphian church. With the open door, with the authority of God. Now what the Lord let happen here, and Brother Randy, God's just painting a picture. If you are looking, if you're watching, you're seeing what's happening. Now we come in here Monday night, the evangelist already said it. Come in here Monday night, demons and devils thick, sawdust on the ground. And then he done the same thing Tuesday night. What did Brother CT do on Tuesday night? Call for prayer. 24 hours. What did he do last night? Call for prayer. 24 hours. You think he's doing that just to exercise your lungs? Folks, that's where the power's at. It's where it's at. And I'll tell you one thing. You hear me and you hear me well. I ain't a prophet or a prophet's son, but I hope I'm smart enough to know this. If you people mean business, if these people pray and means business, you're going to see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost like ain't been in this meeting yet. And I pray it goes on over the weekend and this prayer chain keeps it going. Let's for one time try God. Let's for one time do it like God said. You don't need to quit being spectators. You go to a ball game, you're a spectator. You're there watching them boys play. In every play, you could have done it better and called a better play than the coach did. Ain't that right? Spectators. It's a different story if you're down there sucking air and eating mud. That's right. Hey, in the old days, there wasn't enough men for a football team, and they had 8 men football teams. There's one up there around the house. Hey, players played both ways, offense and defense. There was no sitting down resting. They had to play both ways. And a team had enough players to keep men fresh on the field. Could beat a real good team. We got the same old people doing the same old warfare, and they got their tongue stuck out, and they're about to die because they need some help. Hey, listen to me. We need some people now to turn that television off and get to God. Hey, quit polluting your soul. Get to God and walk with Him. You say you're against TV? You watch every bit of it. The Holy Ghost will let you after you ask Him for permission. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's exactly right. Do what you want to do, long God lets you do it. I'm not putting nobody in bondage. But I'm here to tell you, you got to live in unbroken fellowship when you really have power with God. And if you live in unbroken fellowship, you're going to watch what you see. You're going to watch what you hear. You're going to watch what you do. Because you don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. Because you got to be able to pray. You don't want to take 30 minutes to get on your knees to get a hold of God. You want to get down right there. Have that connection. Whether you feel it or not. Real prayer is going to cost you something. You can't get to Canaan land without the Jordan River. You got to die. You got to die to half what you ever been taught to. All this bunch of shallowness of our day. There ain't no Holy Ghost in it. There ain't no anointing in it. And there's no life-changing power. And there's no victory. People come to church and leave in worse shape than when they come. I'm telling you, we need some warriors. Hey, some of you need to determine, and I need to be right there with you, to determine by the grace of God we'll be David's mighty men. Special forces. Go in behind the lines. Get a drink of water. To refresh our king. Amen. Against the Philistines, that's your flesh. Your biggest enemy is not these politicians and dope dealers. It's your depravity. That's why you got to quit feeding it, or it's going to keep controlling you. That's why you got to feed the spirit man. Your intuition of God, your communion with God, your conscience. You got to feed that part of you. The Bible says Jesus, John the Baptist, grew strong in spirit. You got to feed that spirit man so he'll get stronger. Amen. Then you walk on water. That's the promises of God's word. Folks, I'm telling you something. Christianity's so weak in our day, we still have nobody serious about it no more. You've got to get dead serious about this thing. The work of God's got to be the number one thing in your life. Christ having your body. He bought you. He sought you. He bought you. He wrought salvation in you. He desires to have you. If he's going to work in this world, he's going to work through his body. And you are his body. Amen. We'll cooperate with God about 30 minutes a week. Folks, listen, it's going to be a lifestyle. You say, well, I ain't interested in this. Well, now you know what, we're so powerless. May God birth power in us. And that desire. I refuse to live like I've been living. I refuse to be defeated. I've got an undefeatable Christ living in me. I refuse to live defeated. See, how you going to do that? You got to let him take your life over, and he lives it for you. We live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for it, for us. Well, I guess I better read this scripture. We're not making much of a headway yet on this, are we? The early church, the first thing they did, they taught the preeminence of Christ, the lordship of Christ, to the early believer. And they taught how to be rightly related to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hey, you dear preacher friends of mine, a lot of y'all know more than I. You done forgot more than I know. And I won't always stand where I do in humility. I'm going to tell you something. We don't need more doctorate degrees. We need power. God can give a man power and use that doctor's degree. God can use a polished man full of the Holy Ghost and mightily use him. I don't discount that. But if I'm going to choose one or the other, I know which one I want. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's an old mountain preacher used to read that and call that willies. The willies of the devil. Yeah, when he gets around, I get the willies. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Men of God, your enemy is not your deacons. That's flesh and blood. Now, they may be full of the devil, but it's the devil behind them. And deacons get power drives so bad. I thank God for the ones full of faith in the Holy Ghost. If you're one of them, hallelujah for you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's a Satan's hierarchy here. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, I'm going to tell you where the devil's at. Above all things, Satan is in religion. That's where he's at, number one. Number one, he's in religion. Number two, he's in politics. Number three, he's in the entertainment world. That's where he's at. That's right. If you learn that, this world will make more sense to you. He's in religion. Where'd all these cults come up with their doctrines? Their doctrines of devils. Where did Joseph Smith get his dogmas? Straight from hell, the devil. Anybody denies the deity of Christ, straight from hell. It says here again, spiritual wickedness, high places. Wherefore? Because of that. Because, folks, we're besieged. Because we've got such an enemy that's so powerful. It's all around us. Here's what we better do. You better take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Boy, it's a military word here. That means hold your ground. I shall not be moved. Stand therefore. I'm going to tell you something. When you gain ground, Jesus gains the ground through you and tells you to stand there and keep it. Then he'll gain some more ground through you. He'll tell you to stand there and keep it. Stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, this is more important than any of it, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Boy, when you quote God's word and you believe it, faith's released. And faith backs down doubt. That's the biggest enemy you'll ever face. Ralph Sexton Sr., he's in heaven now. He told me one time, I'm glad he told me this, and God put it in my heart. He said, you can fast and pray till you about die, and you're beset in sin till you die be unbelief. And he's exactly right. We can see God do a miracle and doubt it while he's doing it. That's our depravity. It's in every one of us. Of all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Folks, there's so many sermons jumping out at me right now, and I can't preach but one of them. We need to learn how to maintain our victory, how to maintain fellowship with God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you got a King James Bible, it ain't dull. Some of these other ones are dull. They'll cut some, but I want one that's sharp, two-edged. That King James Bible never jams. It never misfires. It never runs out of ammunition. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The Christian life is a life of warfare. And I want to talk to you about prior armor this morning. Prior armor. But the Christian life is that of warfare, and it's that of conflict. The church is not a showboat. It's a battleship. That's what it is. In which we are to engage the enemy. Now, what we want to do and what I want to do, I want God just keep the devil away from me and me never have to face him. That's not how this thing's set up. God wants us to take the battle to him with the truth. Five times, you better not do that in your flesh, man. You'll come back like I have a lot of times, barely crawling. You better do what you do in love, humility, and holiness. You better not have unconfessed sin in your life, rebelling against God and try to face the devil. He'll make a fool out of you. Oh, that's right. Five times, Paul uses the word against. Wrestle means hand-to-hand combat. It's a personal conflict. You feel that struggle within you, your flesh. You feel that struggle with the enemy. It's like hand-to-hand combat. So many of our believers are POWs, captured in the enemy camp. Brother Andy, we need services that are so power-packed that God can go in there. When God turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream and pull our people that are saved from being held captured by the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, we see there's a few on the front lines. I hope I get there. Folks, I'm not speaking this from a point of pride. I tell you one thing, I wish I'd experienced everything that I've been taught. And if you don't live it, you'll soon lose it. But most believers aren't on the front lines, and they're not in the supply routes. They're POWs. They're captured. They're defeated. They live a life of perpetual defeat. Our war is with an invisible world. That's what makes it difficult. It's an unseen war that we're fighting. And you think about everything around you is set up by the enemy to keep you defeated. Now, I want to look at a few things here, and we'll go. I want to look at the adversary. You got a real enemy. A lot of people's never woke up to the fact you got a personal demon that's tracked you like a bloodhound dog, knows everything about you. He God appointed you at birth. He studied you frontwards and backwards. God gives God's people a personal angel. I guarantee you got at least one of the enemy that's been assigned to you. No doubt. We must stand in the Lord. Says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Our strength is in the Lord. A stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies of the devil. Do you know Satan's got a plan? He's working right now. And he's been working it for years, trying to bring about your demise. Amen. Folks, that ought to make us mad. It ought to make us mad. You ought to get redneck country mad at what Satan's done to us. And quit giving in to him. Talking to myself. Listen to his phony lies. And his empty promises. And his accusations. And him be called up, devil, you're a liar. And the father of it. He's working a strategy to bring down your church and your life. He loves it when people's been successful for a while and he can set that trap. A lot of times he uses pride and brings them down. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. My battle's not with you. Our battle is not on the physical plane, it's on a spiritual plane. Now, you take, for example, take a young man, old woman, doesn't matter. If they're weak in their body, you can put the best armor on them there is in this world, and they're still a weak soldier. Before you ever put that armor on, you gotta be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You don't give an AK-47 to a man being in basic training for a day. You don't give weapons of mass destruction to somebody being in basic training or boot camp for 6 weeks. You know why a man goes to basic training? There's one reason. Number one, to learn how to listen and take orders. You can tell most of us ain't never been to basic training because we're a bunch of rebels and won't listen to God. We go to the Bible like a buffet bar and pick and choose because we're not under the lordship of Christ. You go to basic training to quit, to take away your individuality and you become a unit. They brainwash you. You don't run into a hell of bullets if you ain't brainwashed. That's what they do. They change you. They reprogram your mind. You ain't mama's little old boy no more. You're Uncle Sam's soldier. Basic training. That soldier. They deprive him of sleep. Listen to this now. They deprive him of sleep. They'll take him in there. They'll let him eat half their meal if they let him eat that much. And put them right back there. They're throwing their guts up. You know why? They want that soldier to know the inherent power that's within them. Just how strong they really are. Young man, 18 to 25, I mean Superman. got strength he's never tapped into. And the army tries to show that man, you can go a long time without sleep. You can go a long time without proper food. You can go a long time if you ever learn to tap into that and deal with the pain. But you know what basic training's for? It's to be taught authority. It's to stretch your limits. But it's to put you in physical shape. You can't be strong mentally if you're not strong physically. And it all goes together. Then they go to advanced training after that. They assign different men specialty fields where they're to go and they're trained for that particular area. Where to be strong in the power of his might. God's got reservoirs of power we've never tapped into. You know, the United States has got so many weapons we've never tapped into. We've never tapped into 1/1000th of the power that we've got that's in reservoir. And the church has never touched the power that's in reservoir for us. And the answer is not, I must do everything. That's Arminian. The answer is not God must do everything. That's hyper-Calvinism. The answer is not I'll do what I can and God will do the rest. No. The answer is I got to totally rely on the strength of God as he does it through me. Our strength needs to be increasing. Folks, are you getting stronger in spirit? I want to tell you how you know if you're getting stronger in spirit. Because things God used to let you do, it's not he won't let you do them. You got no appetite for them. Just got no appetite for it. Just don't want to do it. And God's sanctifying you. And he's setting you apart. All of a sudden, you find yourself going down the road praying at red lights, praying, going by cars. And God is sharing his burdens with you. Are you listening? Satan is so dangerous because he's unseen. Now watch this. If I was the enemy and I was a master of espionage, what would I want to do? I'd want to get somebody on the side of the enemy to be a Benedict Arnold, to be a traitor, to sell out the other side, to be a plant, to advise. That's what old David did with Hushai. He sent him in there to confound the counsel of Ahithophel when Absalom took the throne. We've got a lot of peoples in churches that are Ahithophels. Sitting there by the devil, giving bad advice. Putting all that pressure on the pastor not to follow the will of God. So what Satan tries to do is he tries to turn us on each other. If he's invisible, he can't be seen. He gets off scot-free when we get to fighting flesh and blood. Ain't he smart? That's what he's got us doing. We're fighting flesh and blood. And he's not even being touched. He's not even being engaged. When we fight flesh and blood, we're not fighting principalities and powers of the air. You say, can you, I like every truth I find in the Bible, I want to find an illustration for it. I'd rather preach the illustration than just the doctrine because I can understand it. Simon Peter, after he made the greatest confession of his life, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus just said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my spirit which is in heaven. That's why a man might persuade your mind, only the Holy Ghost can get your spirit and show you revelation truth of Christ, of grace, of salvation. That's why you can't get saved persuading somebody. It takes a work on the inside. It's called regeneration. Now, Simon Peter tells the Lord he's not going to go to the cross. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be a man. Listen, folks. Jesus did not call Peter Satan. He called Satan Satan. He dealt with the power behind him. He didn't deal with flesh and blood. Peter, he dealt with the power, spirit, the voice that put that in his mind. He wasn't wrestling with flesh and blood. He dealt with the demonic power. Now, we need to fight the source and the power behind people. Now, we see, number one, the adversary. Number two, the armor. Put on the whole armor of God. That's verse 9. Verse 13, dear people, he repeats it again. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or to withstand in the evil day. You know what that word withstand means? Stand means to hold your ground. Withstand means to resist. It means to oppose. It means to act oneself against. That means when Satan comes to tempt you with something, you resist it. No! Just shut him up right quick. No! And then you quote him a scripture where God condemns what he's trying to get you to do. You resist him with the truth, he'll flee from you. We sit around and think about it and contemplate on an hour and wonder why we're, you gotta nip it in the bud, call him a liar when he first comes by, accusing God, accusing your brother. The emphasis here is on the whole armor of God. This is God's set of equipment. He sends us into the battle, but he won't do it till we're fully clothed. Now the ancient Greek word for armor is used only one place in the New Testament. Listen to where it's used and how it's used, this word armor. Luke 11:21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, that's Satan and the souls of men. His goods are in peace. But when a stronger, that's Jesus, shall come upon him, overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divided the spoil. As long as you got that armor on, Satan can't take you out by shooting you in the heart. That breastplate protects those vital organs. Satan wants to get that breastplate of righteousness, personal holiness, out of your life, so he's got a dead shot at your heart. Satan strips us of or Jesus strips Satan of his weapons and carries off the spoils. That's the plunder, the possessions, the belongings. Now listen to what Christ did to the enemy. He spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So the armor is from God. You know who wore the armor in the Old Testament, don't you? God did. Isaiah 59:17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So the armor is from God and the armor is Christ manifested in the life of the believer. You know how good the Lord is. He's so good, he shares everything he's got with us, except his glory. That's one thing he'll never share. He shares his wealth with us. We're heirs and joint heirs. He shares his son with us, his spirit with us, his word with us. He shares his armor with us. Romans 8:37. Nay, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know what that more than conquerors mean? It means overwhelming victory. We have weapons to conquer the souls of men that the world doesn't have. The Christian has superior weapons. You know what they are? We've got a superior power. We've got a superior motive. That's right. The motive's the glory of Christ. We've got a superior, greater victory. We've got a greater love. The love of Christ constraineth me. But here we go right quick. We've got to be clothed for war. And the Bible says, I'm not going to give a dissertation on all these weapons or all this armor because I don't have time. Maybe some other time. But he said, your loins gird about with truth. I just want to mention what they are. The breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's readiness to obey the will and the voice of God. The shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, he said, put on the whole armor of God. Okay, you just did that. Let's just say you just did that. You went through that list, and you said, Lord, You are my righteousness, and you are my peace, and you're my salvation, and all these things. Christ, that's what you are, though there's a personal application too. Boy, you ready? Got on that armor. And you say, Lord, where's the fight? Let me at them. Where's the battle? Where's the war at? Paul's going to show you where the war's at. Verse 18. Here you get all clothed in the whole armor of God for verse 18 and 19. Praying always. You can't pray unless you're clothed in the whole armor of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Him the Spirit watching there into with all perseverance. Supplication for all saints. He talks about all prayer. All kinds of prayer. You know what all kinds of prayer are? Here's some of them. Confession, petition, supplication, thanksgiving, praise, intercession. That's where you get, you're moving on up in maturity and power with God. Intercession, binding the strong man, and the spoken word of faith is the highest level. What's the spoken word of faith? It's doing what Jesus said to do. Say to the mountain, be thou removed. He didn't tell you to tell him to say it. He said, you say it. Am I still in the Bible, man? Talking about demonic power. You say to the mountain, be thou removed. That's right, Rhema. That's when that word becomes personal reality and faith and a sword in your hand. It's no longer just theological truth on paper. It's in your spirit. He didn't say, when you get the whole armor of God on, he says, now go witnessing, go studying, go preaching. No, he said, you go pray, because that's where the battlefield's at. Does that mean we don't pray, preach, and study? Why, no. But you got to do first things first. Put on the whole armor of God right quick. Verse 10 to 17, evangelism, witnessing, and preaching is going out on the battlefield. And robbing the enemy of his spoils because his resistance has been broke down by prayer. When you pray, you appropriate the victory of Christ, the victory of the cross, and the authority of God against the enemy. You know what our ministries are? They're just trucks that drive up and pick up the spoils that were won in prayer. You know when God saved these people in here last night? They were the spoils that the prayers of all these people's praying. God bound the devil in these lives. Amen. That's why there's such a release of conviction when God does that. And again, in prayer, we appropriate the victory of the cross. Let me give you an illustration. You're hot, but I guarantee you I'm hotter than you are standing up here. But ain't hot as it is in hell, that makes me want to shout every time I sweat. Exodus 17. Hey man, let's just thank God we ain't going to hell. Hallelujah. Exodus 17. I already preached this. Moses stood with the rod of God in his hand. Joshua went down in the valley to pick up the spoils. Long as Moses held the rod of God up, which is a type of the authority of Christ, the name of Christ, the Word of God. Long as he held it up, you hold up the promises against the enemy and the promises to God. God, this is what you said. I'm holding you to your word. That means come boldly before God. You go in humility, but you boldly hold up his word. Until the enemy has to relent. As long as you held the rod up, they won, didn't they? So where was the battle won? Up there on that mountaintop. Where's the real battlefield at? Up there on the mountain. Joshua and his boys just down there collecting the spoils. If we get back to praying, our services will be times that we pick up the spoils. When we witness, it'll be times we pick up the spoils. Moses is winning the battle for Joshua. Now I gotta hurry right quick. Romans 15:30, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. You know what Paul said? He said, hey folks, this is unknown Christians to him. Brother Andy, he said, I don't need none of these. Now lay me down to sleep stuff. That ain't gonna work. You gotta get farther than that. He said, I want you to strive with me. You may not have the health to pray loud and fervent, yeah, outwardly, but you can in your spirit. He said, I want you to struggle with me. That word strive means to agonize together. It means to wrestle. We must not leave God's man in the struggle by himself. Paul is saying, now I'm out here on the battlefield. Don't you do me like David did Uriah and forsake me and pull back and leave me here to get killed. William Carey told his friends in London before he went to India, he said, I will go down into the pit, but Brother Fuller and the rest of you must hold the rope. And so when need be, I can pull him out of there. Amen. Paul asked prayer from these unknown saints. Listen to what Paul said. Epaphras, who's one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you. In prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What's all this wrestling? What's all this fighting? What's all this struggling? What's all this striving? That's called the burden of the Lord. That fervency. You get a man on the front lines, he's not out there in a recliner drinking lemonade. He's fighting with all he's got. Wrestling in prayer, struggling, fighting. And again, it's not the volume of your voice. It's the intensity of your spirit. Warfare is hand-to-hand combat. The front lines of the battle. Number one is intercessory prayer. That's verse 18. The second, you do that so you can do the second one. And that's preach the gospel. That's the two front lines. There they are. And for me, verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me. How's that utterance going to be given to him? By prayer. Brother David was told when he was going to Bible school by another preacher. Brother David asked him, said, how do you preach in power? He said, you'll never preach in the power till you pray in the power. And you'll never preach in the glory till you pray in the glory. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Prayer must precede that so that can happen. So the gospel will have unction, utterance, boldness, and success. Now, I gotta mention this right quick because I believe the Lord had me to. Yesterday I dealt with Daniel 9 and 10. Daniel didn't eat any pleasant bread for 21 days. God said he heard him pray the first day and sent an angel. And the angel didn't have the power to get through because the prince of Persia, Satan himself, put up a roadblock and he couldn't get through. And then the Lord sent Michael to back off Satan and he sent Gabriel to give the message unto Daniel. And Daniel interceded. Now what is Satan fighting Daniel about? He's fighting the message. That's what he's fighting. Now, we're not dealing with angels now like then. We got the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ. It's a whole different thing now. But God's showing you the war that goes on in the heavenlies. What's Satan trying to stop? The message of hope. The message of revelation that will produce a movement. He's fighting God's man, God's message, God's ministry, and God's movement. Trying to keep that message from getting to that man of God that he can declare it in power and faith. Satan always wants to stop God's word from being revealed to God's man, from being preached in power, being heard, and being understood. Man, I'll tell you something. You got people set on pews for 50 years and they ain't never heard yet. Because once in a while I want to come up and say, God, just show me I'm lost. Sit there 50 years, not even know they're lost. What about that? That ought to absolutely put fear on us. If we're interested in entering this ministry of intercession, ain't no need beating around the bush. I'm going to tell you like it is. You're going to face hell. You're going to face war. And you're going to face opposition. This ain't for cupcake boys. This is for people with a warrior mind. This is for people that believe in blood and guts Spiritually speaking, this is George Patton stuff. Amen. This ain't General Gates. You're going to face opposition. Opposition Godward. Satan seeks to stop the sinner from hearing the word of God and you from believing it and putting it in practice by faith. Then he'll oppose you personally. He'll attack your mind. He'll come at you with every accusation, with confusion and doubt and discouragement and depression and disappointment and evil thoughts to distract you, to get you off your knees. Because he trembles when God's people pray. If you're to stand, you must put on the whole armor of God. The armor is Christ. The Holy Spirit moving through us. Now let's look at this right quick. We are to stand. Stand's a military term. I already told you it means to hold the ground. What ground? What ground are we to hold? What Jesus won 2,000 years ago. That's the ground we hold. We don't go to flesh and blood methods. We stand in the promise and the power of the cross of Calvary and an empty tomb. Christ wins the battle against the devil through us. Our loins girt about with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Your loins girt about with truth. This wide belt gives support to the soldier. Helps him from getting weary in battle. It also secures the other pieces of the armor, and it's where the sword is kept in place. Loins girt about with truth. That's not just a body of truth. That's a character of truth that produces love and loyalty. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You want to keep your secret sins? Go on back to sleep. You cannot pray in power with any unconfessed sin in your life. You can't have none. You can't be holding on to that God and that idol in your heart. You got to be dead serious. Tell you what, my boys fought in that war in Iraq. My second was in that surge. He is a point man busting through doors. He is a sniper, and it took every faculty he had. He wasn't thinking about who's winning a ball game at the house. I ain't against ball games. He wasn't thinking about who what's coming up on the TV this fall. He is concerned about one thing, staying alive and winning the war. And on the breastplate of righteousness. That's Christ's righteousness and that's personal righteousness. Hey, you can't fool the devil. He knows what you're doing behind closed doors. He knows. And you get down to pray, you ain't got a clear conscience and you can't pray in boldness because he'll be accusing you. He'll disarm you. So this breastplate protected the heart and the vital organs. I'm trying to quit. I'm trying to quit sweating. I'll probably quit preaching before I quit sweating. Hallelujah and glory to God. James 5. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You got to be right with God and right with man as much as you can be. We're vulnerable. Satan's got so many ways to attack us. Don't give place to the devil. I can't do anything in moderation. I told Brother Randy this, and they're saying some things God won't let me do. He'll let you do. You know why? Because I got an addictive personality, and I can't do something in moderation. I mean, I ain't satisfied 300 horsepower. I want 12. I want 1,200. You know, you ain't never sat. You got that drive. You get consumed with it. Let's get off of that, these motors. Amen. Don't let some secret sin. We talk about a sinner. You going to let that Budweiser take you to hell? You going to let that harlot take you to hell? You going to let your pride take you to hell? And we let all these things, little sins, keep us from having a prayer life and being all that God have us be. Just that one thing. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those Roman soldiers wore hobnails, Brother Randy, hobnails. To give them a good footing where they'd be ready at all times to move out. That's readiness to hear and obey the voice of God. Well, we're come down then. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield was a body shield. It covered the whole body. And the enemy would take arrows, you know this, and they'd dip them in pitch and set them on fire and shoot at that wooden shield. Well, them boys got smart, and they'd put animal hides on that shield, and they'd pour water on them. So when those, that's the word of God, of course, so when those arrows, fiery darts, hit that shield, they'd be extinguished while that little old soldier's down kneeling behind that shield. Amen. We ain't nothing without Christ. You know that. So Satan will assault you mentally, emotionally. He'll use anyone to lie on you, misrepresent you, and threaten you. You have to stand against it. Husbands and wives, listen to me. There can be no point of rebellion in your marriage if you're going to have a spirit-filled marriage. Wives, you can't defraud your husband. You're in rebellion. You men, you can't defraud your wife of intimacy. You're a rebel, and that brings demons in a house. That bedroom's got to be right. Kitchen's got to be right. House got to be right. You're going to fight the devil. You say, I wouldn't say that. I just did. If I need to say it again, I'll say it plainer. We're not submitting to God's word. We're not obeying God. Ladies, you withdraw love from your husband, you're torturing him with temptation. You men don't show love and affection to your wife, you're torturing her. If that husband or wife goes bad, you're as much to blame as they are. Well, that's right. I ain't never heard this before. Well, you need to hear it. It's amazing to me how people can't stay out of a bed before they get married and won't get in one after they're married. Let's get this thing turned around right. I'm talking about rebellion. I'm talking about bringing your life in obedience to the word of God. You say, I ain't going to do it. You a rebel, and you might not even be saved. You keep getting by with that. I wonder if you're saved. Brother Randy, why'd you tell me to preach this? It just come on me. We better quit defrauding. We're living in a lust, sex-filled world. That fire needs to be put out by the marriage relationship. You stand against it. You stand on God's word. You say, I don't feel like it. Listen to this. You ever hear this? You get down to pray, and you don't. I don't feel like it. Praying does no good. There ain't nothing happening. I'm not close enough to God. You know what you just heard? Fiery darts of the wicked. You do it because God said do it till you start feeling like doing it. You ever notice you go to the gym to work out? You don't feel like doing it. Man, they just something about getting that heart going and blood pumping. You get to feeling it. Hallelujah. You ever lifted weights much in your life, you feel miserable when you ain't doing it. Because your body's used to that. Prayer, same way. Lord, I know you hear me, whether I feel it or not. I'm praying by faith. And then you quote, Lord, is there anything too hard for the Lord? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Then you got the helmet of salvation. Because your mind, your brain, your face, your head has got to be protected. That's the assurance of salvation. That's Satan's number one attack until a believer so gets it nailed down they can't be shook. You need to so know you're saved. 15 messages on the wheat and the tares and hellfire won't move you. You know why I know I'm saved? I'll tell you how I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved by the scripture. I did what it's saying. I know I'm saved by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. I know I'm saved because I've had fellowship with God. I've had the love of God shed abroad in my heart. There's a part of me wants to live right. There's a part of me loves God's word. There's a part of me that desires the word of God. Thank God I keep believing. I keep repenting. I keep confessing. I continue. Keep on going. That means you're saved. You live for God like you got saved. You keep repenting. You keep confessing. You keep believing. And you keep on going. I know I'm saved because I got the divine nature. Amen. Got the Holy Ghost in me. You better have a real short sin list. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to sleep with any sin in your heart. Say it's easy preaching hard living. No, it's hard preaching and hard living. Because you preach this stuff, God makes you live it. Then when you don't, you got to get back to confessing and repenting and believing. And begging for mercy, and I got to do that a lot. But I must trust God's word instead of circumstances. Brother, you come. Will you do the instrument? Stand behind the shield. Then when the fiery darts come, get down on your knees. Soak that shield in the promises of God, and the fires will go out. Folks, you cannot pray in doubt. You can't pray for other salvation if you don't know you're saved. You can't pray in boldness unless you got a clear conscience. The devil might accuse you, but he's got to have no ground of accusation that's true against you. To pray in boldness, truthfulness, personal holiness, obedience, trust in the word of God. So you pray standing. Secondly, you pray with the sword. Learn to use the word of God. Hold the word up to God and against the enemy. This is a confidence. That means boldness. We have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We know that he hears what's here. We ask, we know we have the petitions we desired of him. We hold the word of God up against doubt, discouragement, and worry. Be careful for nothing. But by prayer and supplication. That says worry about nothing and pray about everything. By prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When the devil fights you, I'll read these verses, I'm done. Shove this in his face. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I like Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Beat Satan down with the word of God. It may take days, it might take weeks, like at your church, trying to get a breakthrough. Stay with it. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. So pray, standing. Pray with the sword, lastly, and I got to quit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. With the aid of the Spirit. Power of the Spirit. Guidance of the Spirit. Mind of the Spirit. Learn to pray the prayers of the Spirit. Learn to pray God's prayers to him. He'll hear his own prayers. I'll guarantee you that. To pray in the Spirit, you got to be filled with the Spirit. That means controlled by the Spirit. He's my guide, my director, my energizer, my motivation. I submit to his control. The Spirit will birth prayer in you. Ladies, I tell you, some of you may not, this hasn't happened to you, and you're wanting to get really in prayer. You may be standing at the sink washing your dishes. No, we got dishwashers for that now, ain't we? Well, you got to take them out of the dishwasher, whatever. And if your husband loved you, he'd hire a maid, wouldn't he? But you're standing there, you're ironing clothes, and God just starts moving on you. Impressing you. There's an impulse. You see somebody's face in your heart. And God says, pray for them. You're trying to iron them clothes. Say, Lord, there's going to be a fire here. I got to cut this off. Just get down on your knees. Say, Lord, they're in trouble. Dr. Percy Ray, in the young days of his ministry, was coming out in late 2 o'clock in the morning. He said there was a demon come upon him, and a temptation stronger than anything he ever faced in his life. He never told what it was. He said, I knew if God didn't help me, my ministry would be wrecked. He said in about 30 minutes, it all left. Back then they didn't have cell phones. He got a letter a month later, a woman asked him, "Sir, I want to know what happened certain day, 2:00 in the morning. God woke me up and you was on my heart." And God said, "Percy Ray's in trouble." She said, "Lord, would you help me?" He said, "No, it's as serious. Get down on your knees." She said, "I prayed that there's a release about 30 minutes. God said, "You can go back to sleep now." God may give us utterance. Pray through us. You know what real prayer is? Holy Spirit praying through your humanity. Romans 8:26-27. When you go to God with total confidence in your heart, walking with Jesus in a high level of commitment and obedience, prayer needs unction. Prayer produces assurance. There's just no substitute for the Holy Spirit of God. Brother Randy, I heard this story. I told this, I think. I know I did where I pastored. There's this church in the had revival, and God poured out His Spirit. First, you have revival to touch the saved. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is to reach the lost. That's why a real revival has the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in it. And they had prayed for this man for 30 years. He come that Sunday morning after God poured out His Spirit. And when God pours out His Spirit, everybody you've been praying through, He goes after them. And that man showed up that Sunday morning. And he got saved. And the church was all inquisitive. Said, "Sir, we prayed." Yeah, go ahead and play a little bit. "We prayed 30 years for you. We want to know what got you here." He said, "For 30 years, I've been trying to get here. But it was like I was bound and I was hindered. And I'd even get dressed on Sunday morning. I could never get here. But this morning, it was so free and so easy. And there was no hindrance for me to get here." God binds Satan in a church. He'll bind Satan in the lives of who that church is praying for. This city's got demon power over it. You churches need to pray together till God breaks a strong man's power. That's when He'll rush out on these highways and in these houses and get people. Folks, this just ain't going to work with a half-hearted commitment. All in. All in. Lock, stock, and barrel. "Lord, I'm not willing, but I'm willing for You to help me to be made willing." I got to pray that all the time. Holy Father, in Jesus' name, we're going to do what You told us to do. We want to be strong. Oh God, it said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Forgive me, God, for fighting flesh and blood. And God, I know Satan gets in flesh and blood, but our real enemy's not the person. It's the power behind them. And God, rip up the stronghold in that center of that Christian's life. Just give Satan an inroad, a door to get in their heart and use them to be a great hindrance to stop the flow of the Holy Spirit. I pray, dear God, You would move in power and great glory. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Power of Your might. You got the reserves, God. Now may Your power bring all those reserves to our lives. God, we're wrestling against principalities and powers of the air. And God, we claim, Satan, You're rendered powerless in the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. And this is the property of Christ. We claim victory, the victory of the cross, the resurrection, ascension, the name of Christ over you. We claim victory, victory over you. And God, we claim the souls of men. We claim strongholds, binders, ripped up by the roots. God, send the Holy Ghost to make them sick of their sin. God, show them they're lost. Deal with them. Deal with them. Deal with them. Loose them, God. Give them a desire for Christ. May Christ be so attractive to them, they'll run to Him. God bless your people. Give us praying power. A life that can pray. A love to pray. Delight. Doing your work and your will. We pray, God, tonight for Brother C.T. Towns. We pray for every child of God that'll be here. I pray for these that are praying throughout the day. Give them faith and vision and power and authority. Stand in the gap and make up the hedge. God, one or two of us, or three or four or five of us can't do it all.